Lifestyle matters. It's more than money.
My name's Liana Wojniak, filling in for Faisal Karmali, here with our regular host, Dave Popowich. Thanks for having me today, Dave.
Yeah, well, thanks for joining me. I appreciate it. It's always fun to do this with somebody other than Faisal. He's not here to defend himself, but I like to pick on him when he's not here. We've got an interesting show today. Let's talk a little bit about aging and technology and the connection there. Mm-hmm. You know, personally, there's some connection with my family and now with Faisal's around dementia, and technology is likely to be, and I don't mean biotechnology, right? Pharmaceuticals and whatnot, just technology itself is going to be part of the overall solution. And I think that's general comment for everybody that's aging. Mm-hmm. As that demographic needs more and more resources and help, right? I think technology's got a big role to play in improving the quality of our life and the quality of care that we're going to get as we age. And so we want to talk a little bit about that today.
Absolutely. And we have a great guest on to do that. We're also going to talk about something that if you live in Alberta, you have heard a lot about over the last little bit. Mm-hmm. And that will be the federal government's response to the Alberta pension plan idea. Justin Trudeau came out with a statement this week. We're going to talk to a guest about that and what sort of the political motivations are behind the entire plan.
Yeah, and not just obviously the Liberal government response, but we've also got, I think, some differing opinions amongst conservatives federally and provincially. So it is an interesting topic, and it's a politically charged one for lots of Albertans right now. Okay, let's talk a little bit about the markets this past week. Now, you and I shared the responsibility of market updates this week, and I thank you for your help on that. It is, again, a challenging market environment, both in the stock and the bond markets. One of the things, the data points that we got this week was around Canadian inflation and where that's at, something we've been struggling with as Canadian consumers for a long time. What are your thoughts on what the numbers were telling us this week?
Well, we saw that number, the headline number, the core numbers, unexpectedly slightly lower than was anticipated. We came down from 4% last month to 3.8% this month. So the inflation is going in the right direction. So the overall thought behind it, the market thought behind it, is that we're not going to see a rate increase, at least in the next meeting, which is next week on the 25th. Unlikely to see a rate increase, still a small percentage chance there that we might have to go a little bit higher, but it looks like things are, generally speaking, going in the right direction.
Yeah, I would say that the data this week would support that. So I was reporting on consumer spending, or what are called the receipts, retail receipts. And it's, keep in mind that 70% of our economy, maybe a little bit more than that, is you and me and all of our viewers and listeners, they're spending, right? So what we do as consumers will impact the GDP numbers and ultimately demand and so on and so forth. And there's clear evidence that that people are starting to tighten up the purse strings a little bit. And what I found interesting is because we've had inflation, some of these numbers, when we measure it on a price basis, they show one thing. But if prices have gone up by 5 or 10%, that could mask a 5 or 10% drop in sales, right? Because when you match those two numbers, they'd be the same. So when I strip out prices and I look at volumes of retail receipts spending in the most recent month, it's actually down 0.7%. And so I think there is mounting evidence to suggest that the economy is slowing in response to the Bank of Canada's interest rate moves. And I think that just adds extra weight to the argument or the position that you just put out that, and will be consensus here, is that the Bank of Canada is quite likely to pause next week. Now, at 3.8%, Bank of Canada governor, and you've got the US Fed, let's talk about the Fed in a minute, they both said that we're not done. The work isn't done on inflation yet, because the target, remember, is still 2%. And both of those banks are still holding fast to that number. So the messaging is that we're going to keep our options open, right? So you got, there's two things in there. You got a higher for longer message, and you've got the risk that, you know, the overnight rate could continue, could still be pushed higher. But I think that the balance of the evidence suggests that the risk of the Bank of Canada or the Fed raising rates again is largely done. Doesn't mean we couldn't have another quarter point interest rate increase, but it's largely done. And I think the markets are reflecting that.
Yes, it's like we're closer to the end than we are to the beginning sort of mentality that we've been talking about for the last few months.
Yeah.
There just doesn't seem to be the appetite in the market anymore for any more of those increases. But we were talking a little bit this week about how sensitive the markets have become to those interest rate moves.
Yeah, and it's, I guess it's not, the that's an interesting point, because the sensitivity, not as much to do right now with that short-term rate that the banks control, but it's to do with the volatility that we've seen in some of the longer-dated bonds. And that's not controlled by the by the central banks directly.
Right.
Right. Certainly through their communication, markets will interpret certain things and price accordingly. But, you know, the volatility that we've seen, well, probably since September, is really coming from this, the crazy swings, the really violent swings that we're seeing, particularly in the 10-year U.S. Treasury bond, and the yield on that bond.
So let's maybe talk a little bit about that 10-year bond number, why it's important, and what drives that particular pricing.
Yeah, well, and it's a complicated answer to that question. Let's see if we can get it handled in the time frame that we've got available. You know, that there's a pricing. So the bond market's important to, say, the stock market, because you have to be compensated for risk, right? And so so there's a risk element answer to your question. If I can get a GIC that pays 5.5% or 5.7%, all right, what do I need if I'm going to take the risk of the, you know, the stocks bouncing up and down? So you've got that. You've got the cost to carry debt, right? So many Canadians and Albertans, Calgarians, are faced this year and next year with this notion of rolling over their mortgage. And boy, if you had a mortgage 5 years ago and you're rolling into this market, okay, things are going to be a lot different. Mm-hmm. And so what that does is there's an impact on consumer spending. You've got less money to spend from a discretionary perspective. And then in the bond market itself, so the volatility in that 10-year number is interesting in that, as I said, it's not controlled directly by the central bank, but it's bouncing all over the place and moving, and it's been moving higher. And part of that is what they call a term premium. And so because there's uncertainty in the longer dated yields, you and I as rational investors just simply demand more yield because we don't know what the future holds, right? Much like a stock. Mm-hmm. I buy a company that I think in the future is going to increase their profitability. So the bond market has those elements of risk premium built in as well. And because of the uncertainty, and the U.S. Fed Chair Powell spoke this week and intentionally not providing a lot of clarity around where we are, right? That uncertainty and that term premium continues to bounce around. And we're seeing that affect both stock and the bond markets.
That's right. And then the interesting part about this is people don't normally think about the bond market driving a reaction in the stock market.
Right.
But we're seeing that crossover. Do you want to speak a little bit to why we're seeing those bond, and particularly that 10-year bond number, impact the stock market?
Well, again, you can go back to borrowing costs, or you can go back to, as a rational investor, if I've got two options, where do I put my money, right? And so as interest rates go higher and those risk-free interest rates go higher, it makes things, risk assets, look less attractive. But think about it, not just, we talked about mortgages, but think about businesses. They've got to finance their operations as well. And for a lot of years, 15 years, businesses and governments have been able to push out, financing their operations, whether it's building a new factory or whatever the case may be, over a period of time at very low cost of capital. Any of that stuff that's maturing now, those bonds and their refinancing to that market, it makes a lot of those projects less attractive and perhaps economically unfeasible, right? So there's a ton of uncertainty as to what they're going to do around that. So the bond market is often a leading indicator, doesn't always get it right. It didn't get it right last year. We'll see if it's got it right this year. But it reverberates across all markets.
So this is something that makes investing, particularly for retirement, very complicated.
Right.
So that's something we're actually going to touch on the next time we have a seminar.
Which is?
On Tuesday, November 7th. It's at 7 p.m. We're going to be at the Carriage House Inn in Calgary. So please register and join us there. Go to morethanmoneyradio.com to do that.
Yeah, I think making sure that you have a proper structure and a proper strategy in a highly uncertain environment is more critical than it's ever been before. Okay, we look forward to seeing you there. Stick around after the break, because AI and technology is going to be a big driver and a big help for us as we age all through retirement. You're on QR Calgary and More Than Money.